just needed to know right then when I was done and I felt, you know, it's like, okay, you've got all this energy and you've got all this pain and everything's going through your head. For me, that's how I can gauge, okay, even though I'm having all these emotions and I'm feeling all of these things, can I keep going? Would I do this twice? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, then I really need to evaluate some things. But if it's yes, okay, well, then let's do it. And how do I prepare for that?
You're listening to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast. And this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. Whenever trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where our conversations might go. So there aren't too many topics that are off limits for us. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hello and welcome back. My guest this week is Teresa Reyes Cummings. Teresa is a friend of mine. We've run together many training runs together. She's a very strong runner. I've assisted her in some of her running endeavors, helping her crew, her Rails to Trail 100K, and just is a good friend. Also, she is a bodybuilder, amateur bodybuilder. So we talk a little bit about her running career as well as her getting ready to go back into amateur bodybuilding competition. Hope you enjoy my conversation with my friend, Teresa Reyes Cummings. Teresa, welcome to the show. We're on live, and we'll, if there's some comments that come up, if you feel like, if you see somebody who's said something, you feel free to answer or feel free to talk to the people who are commenting as we go through this. So,
okay. Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Yeah. I have looked forward to this, just because, you and I've had several conversations and I've always enjoyed talking to you when we're on the trail. And so I was like, well, why should I keep you like a secret from the rest of the world? Because I've always enjoyed our conversation. So what I always do is kind of start out this by saying this is a virtual trail run. And so as if you and I were going to go out on the trail and run together, that's kind of the conversation that we have. It's not really an interview. Whatever questions come up, wherever the topics go, that's kind of where it goes. I don't have a list of questions.
Okay.
Questions prepared. Well, I'm not going to interrogate you. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't have worn makeup and I should have put a headband on. That's how I usually run with my buff.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this is a virtual, so we can actually be a little bit warmer than what we normally are when we're out running on the trail this time of year. But for the people who may see this or hear it on the podcast, who haven't had the opportunity of running with you, I would like to give you kind of a chance to introduce yourself. So when you meet somebody to run on the trail and they don't know you, what are the kind of the things that you tell them about yourself as who you are?
Oh, wow. You know, my name, of course, Teresa Reyes Cummings. I use my hyphen name, my married name, because Cummings does not indicate that I'm Mexican. And I think it's important that people know that I am a Mexican American. And my grandparents were first generation Mexicans here in the United States. So that's important for me. Mm-hmm. That's why I use that name, my name that way. But usually when I first meet people out on the trail or running, the question is, you know, how long have you been running? You know, did you run in high school? What did you do in high school? You know, and they have that assumption that I've been running for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I haven't. Actually, Eric, in preparation for this conversation with you, I went back to look at, okay, when was my first marathon? And my first marathon was in 2015, the Marine Corps Marathon.
Wow. Okay. So
yeah, it's only been 5 years.
More than 5 years. So was that your first goal race? You just kind of went from not being a runner to jumping into the marathon?
I went from not being a runner. I actually ran my first 5K when I was 40 with a friend of mine. The breast cancer, Susan B. Komen run. And I did that for fun. Had no idea what I was doing. I just went out and ran as much as I could, walked what I could, and did it with her, actually, just as something to do. And I didn't run again for quite some time. And I got in some trouble, and I had to change some of my behavior. And a friend of mine invited me to go trail running or trail hiking. Mm-hmm. It was on January 1st. And I think we ended up hiking 8 miles or so out at Clinton Lake, and just talking about kind of the transition I was in my life and what I needed to do differently, and just kind of spilling my guts as to things that were happening in my life with this dear friend of mine. And she happened to be a trail hawk, a runner in Lawrence. Mm-hmm. And when we were done, she said, "You ought to try trail running, because we just hiked for like 8 miles. Uh-huh. And you're not even winded, you know. It was just like a walk in the park. It was so much fun." And I'm like, "What is trail running? What is that?" And she connected me with the group, now KCDC, but at the time it was Mud Babes that ran on Mondays at Shawnee Mission Park. She lived in Lawrence, and I lived here in Kansas City. And from there, I just started running. Had no idea what I was doing. I was at the back of the pack. Could barely run a mile without stopping, couldn't even run a mile without mm-hmm. stopping, and just slowly progressed. And the first event I ever did was Brew to Brew.
Okay.
Remember that Brew to Brew from?
Brew to Brew, I think they still run that. It's from a brewery in Kansas City to a brewery in Lawrence.
Yeah, from Boulevard Brewery to Free State Brewery in Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah. So that's about a 40 mile run, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I had no idea what I was doing, but the girls that were trail running with, "Oh, yeah, you'll be fine. You could just, you know, do 6 miles. It's nothing." Oh, boy. When you're not a runner and don't know what you're doing, it was something to run 6 miles. And I did it, and I did it okay. I wasn't, very fast or anything like that, but I at least accomplished that distance. And I remember one of the girls was like, "Oh, now you're ready for a half marathon. You know, you've done 6 miles. You might as well do this half marathon that's coming up." And, you know, not knowing any better, and thinking, "Wow, this is a lot of fun. These women are a lot of fun. Why not sign up for this half marathon?" And it just has taken off since then, Eric, mm-hmm. to be honest, you know.
Well, and it's a typical story. When you get in the trail running community, you have people encouraging you to, you should do this. I mean, we tend to enable each other to go to the next distance.
Exactly. And, after I did, I think it was Free State, maybe. It was a run, a half marathon in Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I remember going by myself. I didn't have anybody there to cheer me on or anything like that. I was just going to see how I could do. And another one of the girls that I had been running with, I think it was Ashley Mullins, she was there at the end. And she's like, "I seen you were doing this, and I just wanted to be here to cheer you on." And I was just so impressed. I'm like, "Wow, she doesn't even really know me." Mm-hmm. And is just there at the finish line to, you know, give me the high five and hugs and say, "Good job." And I was just really hooked then on the running community and how supportive, you know, the women, you know, and the men, but at that time it was mostly women that I was connecting with, were so supportive of, you know, just being out there and doing the distance and just being really encouraging. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, okay, well, I wonder what it would be like to run that distance twice, is what I always ask myself after mm-hmm. a race. Can I do this twice? Can I get out there and do this again? And I asked myself that after running my first half marathon, and I felt good enough. I was like, "Yeah, I think I could. If I trained right, I could probably do it." So I entered the lottery for the Marine Corps Marathon. And I did that because my dad's a Marine.
Okay.
And I wanted to do something to honor his service in the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. And my half brother and I both entered the lottery. And we were supposed to do it together if we got in. Well, I can tell you that's the only lottery I've ever won because I got in. I was so excited, but scared half to death because I was like, oh my gosh, now I have to go this full distance and I have to train for it. And what do I have no idea what to do. I didn't have a coach or anything like that. I found a training spreadsheet online after Googling, you know, training for a marathon.
Yeah, how to run a marathon or whatever. Yeah, there's a lot of information you can get if you type that in.
Exactly. And I found one and I was just like, okay, well, yeah, this looks good. I might as well just do this one, you know, and see what happens. No nutrition planning. Mm-hmm. No pacing, no pace charts, no nothing. It was just, here's what you run, and then you go run the day of. And what's very interesting for that experience, Eric, was was my very first marathon, of course. I was hoping my dad could go with me, but he wasn't able to. But I went to visit him before I left for the race. Mm-hmm. And he had on this T-shirt that said Team Running Strong with Billy Mills. And I so happened to have a friend that worked for Billy Mills's foundation out in Washington, D.C. And she asked if I'd be interested in running on their team. She found out I was running the Marine Corps, you know, the marathon. I was like, yeah, sure. So I just had to raise some money. So I actually became part of a team rather than just running by myself. And it was his 50th anniversary for winning the Olympic gold medal.
Okay.
That year. So it was a really big to do. And he was going to be there and he had this big event for all the runners on his team. So I go to my dad's house to visit with him and my dad's wearing this T-shirt of his. I was like, Dad, how do you know that? And he was like, well, I've been donating to Billy Mills Foundation for like 25 years. I'm like, you're kidding. Well, I'm running on his team. He's like, well, how'd you manage that? And I told him the story. So it was just kind of this big circle of events that I'm running my first marathon, trained in honor of him and his service in the military. And our connection is Billy Mills, who won the gold medal, you know, 50 years ago at the time. And he's also a Marine.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was just like, okay, this is meant to be, I'm supposed to be doing this. And this is going to be a very unique experience. And it was magical, I have to say, meeting him and being part of his team. And he had a ceremony for all of us. We all got smudged. His inspirational speaking, and it was just, I tell people my very first marathon was a very spiritual and just magical experience.
Wow, that's good. So you ran with, you were on the team. Were there other runners that kind of stayed with you throughout the race, or were you kind of, you're still pretty much, everybody's going for their own time. And
right. Everyone's going for their own time. My goal was to do it in, you know, 6 hours or less. And when I came across the finish line, I think it was like 6:07 or 6:10 or something like that. And I was so disappointed because I didn't think I made the my goal time. I was over. But come to find out, you know, there's thousands of people that run that race. And I didn't know at the time that, you know, they accounted for how long it took everyone to get over the start line.
Oh, okay.
So my time was actually 5:50 something.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I did. I met my goal.
So they didn't have the chip time that started your time when you went over the little thing. Because some of the races that I've been in that had a lot of people, they have the timer guys you know, some of the races that we run, your chip actually
yeah, they
record
did.
Your time.
That chip. So when I got my results, you know, emailed to me.
Okay. So you were looking at it had your time. Okay. Had your
correction. Yeah. I just didn't see it because the clock,
you were looking at the clock, which starts when the first runners go across.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I had no idea. Like I said, I was so green going into that race. I had no clue.
Yeah.
what I was doing. And the funny thing, this is a funny story. So I had this expectation that when I got my medal, that there would be this really big, handsome, blue-eyed, just muscular Marine that was going to give me my medal, you know, and this just really handsome uniform. And I remember walking up to the line and, you know, they just funnel you through and you've got all these lines of people going to get their medal. And I'm looking at all the Marines that are there giving out the medals. I'm like, oh my gosh, these are kids. They're probably only 18 or 19 years old. Where's the tall, dark, handsome guy? I want that role, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, well, I guess that ain't happening. I just have to go get my medal.
Right. So I guess the junior officers who have to have the yeah. marathon duty, not the senior officers.
Exactly. Right out of boot camp.
You're right.
So that's just kind of funny. It was a magical experience. That was just the funny part at the end. I was like, oh, wow. You know, the jarhead you see on the movies was not there.
Okay. But that's that's in New York, right?
It's in DC.
It's in DC. Washington. Okay, I'd forgotten. I couldn't remember which one it was in.
Yeah, but it was through DC and you know along the river there. It was magical. It was amazing.
So that's a road marathon. So uh-huh. How was it training on trails or you know running on trails and then versus running on road? Was that did you notice any issues with having to run on the road versus trails?
Yeah, I think running on roads for me, I get more shin splints.
Okay.
I just naturally made the transition to trails because that's what I was usually running. So running road marathons is definitely more rare for me. But after I completed the Marine Corps marathon, I did ask myself the same question. Do I think I could do this twice? Can I go farther?
Can you go farther? Okay.
Yes. Yes. And I felt good enough at the end. And my husband was surprised. He's like, are we ever going to sit down? We've been walking around for over an hour and you've been done. You know, we've probably walked another 5 miles. So I was just so excited because the energy.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't ready to sit down. And that time I was like, yep, I think I could go farther. And then I don't know, a couple years later, that's when I started with, you know, I did Rocky Raccoon was my first 50K in Huntsville. And you know, Eric, now that I think about it, and I've been reflecting back, I've ran more ultra distances than I've run any other distance.
Okay.
In the last 5 years.
So I know that you ran. Were your ultras 50Ks, or did you go up into doing 50 miles? I'm trying to remember some of our conversations in the past. I remember you did a 50 mile in there sometime. Uh-huh. If I remember right.
Oh yeah, actually. So in this, you know, progression of running, one thing I realized was, you know, I just wasn't very fast. Which I wasn't really trying to be, but I felt like for, you know, the effort and as good as I felt and as strong as I felt, why wasn't I able to just run faster and just keep that stamina up better? Mm-hmm. And again, you know, this trail running community is just amazing. There's just a wealth of resources, you know, and knowledge amongst all of the people, you know, especially those who've been running for a really long time. But I started to share my experience with how I felt with some of the other women. And I found out that I was anemic.
Okay.
And that contributed to kind of where I was stagnant in my training and just how I felt and those kinds of things. And I'm sure I had some mineral deficiencies or whatever, but nonetheless, I was able to get a handle on the anemia and address that. And then I decided to start doing more strength training. Mm-hmm. You know, that strength training would help me, hopefully, in just being stronger on the hills and all of those types of things. That's what prompted me into going into bodybuilding.
Okay. So you were a distance runner, then you went into bodybuilding from strength training.
I would say I was a definitely a newbie at distance running because I had that 50K under my belt, but I didn't have any other distance under my belt until after the bodybuilding.
Okay. So were you doing bodybuilding along with distance running then at the same time? Or
I was running a lot and bodybuilding, again, not really knowing the impacts of the two sports. And I wasn't planning on bodybuilding. I was just training to get stronger.
Okay.
To run. And my coach, my trainer at the time, and again, I didn't have any running coaches at the time. I had a strength trainer. And she talked me into bodybuilding.
Okay. So you know, when we talk about bodybuilding, you're talking about bodybuilding competitions.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And so
she said, you should try bodybuilding because you've got a good physique and you're able to build muscle. And I was like, you're crazy. You know, I'm almost 50 years old. I haven't worn a two-piece swimsuit in God knows how long, let alone something that you would see up on stage in one of those competitions. And it just terrified me. I wasn't interested. That's not why I was there, was to enter a competition. And she just kept working on me, kind of like what the trail runners do. They just kind of keep working on you. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you want to try it. Just try it. See what you think, you know. And I'm good for that. I'm always good to at least try something and see what I think. And so she talked me into it. She's like, just do one competition. Just train for one competition and see what you think.
So how long did the training take? I mean, you were strength training for running. So how long did it take then to transition to training and building up to being able
to? About 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah, I had about 6 months.
So what was that kind of training like? I mean, what was the difference between just regular strength training and bodybuilding training? What did you have?
I could not run long distances anymore. And at the time, I wasn't running a lot of long distances because I hadn't, you know, built up to that yet. But I knew I wanted to run more. And so just, you know, increasing your weight really, you know, building a lot of muscle, and then your diet is key. The nutrition plan, I want to say diet, your nutrition plan. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the number of calories you have to eat and the right kind of calories. So learning how to count your macros, as far as your fats, your carbohydrates, mm-hmm. your protein, your calories every day, very strict in order to build that lean muscle mass.
Okay.
And so running, you can't run into those endurance distances because if you don't have enough fat on your body, then in those endurance runs, your body starts to burn muscle.
Okay.
And get into that muscle. And if you're bodybuilding to build muscle, you can't deplete what you're trying to build.
Yeah. We'd be working at cross purposes.
Yes. And so anytime I would try to sneak out kind of and like go do a 7 mile run or something like that, my bodybuilding coach would know because she could see where I was retaining more water. You know, I mean, she was just that in tune with how my muscles were growing. And mm-hmm. what they were doing, that she could tell when I called it cheating, or she called it cheating, because I would go out and do a long run. Mm-hmm. And I had to really be disciplined and trust the process, do the nutrition plan, stick with what your trainer wants you to do if you want to do well.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine, I mean, if you, once you get into running, get some community and have had some success, and running is enjoyable. And so it would be very difficult. It's like, okay, I have to stop running and build and do bodybuilding. I mean, it's just, and I think you found some enjoyment in bodybuilding, but you know, in strength training, but yeah, to have to not run, that would be, I could
yeah, see it was hard. And fortunately, I mean, like I said, we talked about, and you already know this, you know, the community around here, I think there was like seven or eight of the runners that showed up at my competition to support me.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was just amazing. You know, they sat through a whole, I don't know how many hours at a competition, you know, just to cheer me on to, for those 5 minutes, you mm-hmm. know, that I was walking across the stage and doing my thing. And, you know, I could hear them all out there because they were the loudest bunch.
Yeah. Trail runners tend to be a little less restrained about.
Oh yeah. They had posters and oh my gosh, they had everything. And I just felt so special. I'm like, oh wow, look at these women, you know, out there, and they didn't care. They were making all kinds of noise and hooting and hollering. And yeah, it was just, it was great. It was fun.
That's cool. So how you said the competition you were on for 5 minutes, how does the bodybuilding competition work? I mean,
so you compete in different category. I mean, you compete in categories. For me, masters is, I think 45 and over. And then they also group you by height and so age. If you're a novice, meaning first time, or you've never won anything in the professional arena. So I competed in the novice category in open. So meaning they just lump a bunch of, you know, women all together mm-hmm. by my height. And then I competed in the masters.
Okay.
And the bikini. So you have bikini, you have figure, you have physique, and then you have bodybuilding. So the higher up you go, the more muscle mass you have. Okay. So bikini at that time I competed, the bikini category is the least amount of mass, but they're looking for definition. They're looking for sweeps. I learned all of this. And those sweeps are, you know, when you see your muscles and you've got the sweep, you know, they're looking for all these different sweeps that okay. outline your muscles. Mm-hmm. They're looking for X's and different things. So they want to see some tone and definition, but not a lot of bulk.
Okay. Okay.
And once you compete in masters, it's a little different now. They finally have more women, I think, and they do it by height. But when I competed, there wasn't enough women by height. So everyone that was over that age bracket competed together. So I would have been on stage. I'm 5 foot tall. I could have been standing next to a woman that was 5'9".
Okay.
So our muscles look very different.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting competing. When I competed that year, so in 2017, there were 12 women that were in the masters category.
Okay.
And all height sizes ranges.
Okay.
Yep.
So then what, did you stop doing that for a while? Your bodybuilding, so yeah. You went back into running. What was the transition?
That was fun actually. Because again, my goal was to get stronger to run. Mm-hmm. I did not intend on competing. So that was just kind of a phase that I went through. It's like, okay, I did that. There was 12 women. I placed fifth out of the 12 women. It wasn't bad for my first time. You only get, you know, a medal for the top three places. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get any hardware, you know, didn't get that medal or anything, which is fine. I didn't really, that wasn't my interest. I was just doing it for fun, basically, mm-hmm. and seeing what I could do. My real goal was to run my first 50 miler.
Okay.
At the Hawk. So that would have been in September.
Okay. Was that, it was 2017?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So I had, I competed at the competition in April of 2017. I ran my first 50 miler in September of 2017.
Okay.
So one thing I was, you know, proud of at the time was nobody else on that stage of women I was competing with was going to run 50 miles 5 months later.
That's
yeah. They thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
But that was my real goal. And that's when I engaged with Colleen from Team Sparkle, now Team Sparkle, as my running coach, and mm-hmm. she got me in running shape in 5 months to run that 50 miler.
Okay. Okay.
which was amazing. You know, and it was, you know, I had to ramp up running, you know, distances fairly quickly from doing less than, you know, 5 miles or less to then getting ready for, to run 50 miles.
Yeah, it's doable, but it's not, you know, it's the, you would have to do it fairly quickly.
Yeah, yeah. But I did it. I did it. And that was an incredible race. I was strong. I was lean. I learned so much about nutrition. I would say that's one thing bodybuilding did for me, and I still use today, is nutrition planning. Okay. Because I can hone in on my nutrition pretty quickly on how I need to fuel for the sport or for what I'm about to do.
So how is the nutrition, I mean, just kind of in general, broad terms, nutrition for running versus what you were doing from bodybuilding? How did you have to change?
You know, with bodybuilding, you're eating a lot more protein. You're eating a lot more frequently, but smaller meals. So you were eating like 6 times a day, mm-hmm. and getting in, of course, so many calories. And they would change up my plan based on, okay, well, we need to tweak this a little bit. So I want you eating this. So it's real interesting how, you know, cut back on your rice. Yeah, you know, I didn't eat any pasta. My carbs were very specific. Mm-hmm. And because they want you to burn that fuel, but your goal is to grow muscle. Whereas with running, you need fuel for endurance. Not so much to grow muscle, but you need fuel to keep yourself going for a long time. You don't want to lose your muscle, of course, if you have it, retain as much as you can, but eating for endurance and, you know, eating 6 times a day to bodybuild and build muscle. I think some people are surprised when I do ultras, I start eating pretty quickly. 20 minutes into a race, I'm starting to eat. Mm-hmm. And it keep and I keep myself fueled with small portions, not a lot, but small portions until I'm done.
Okay, so and you do that fairly consistently every 20 minutes.
Yes, I sure do.
What kind of for you? What's your kind of your calorie intake per 20 minutes? Do you figure it that closely, or is it just kind of eat a little bit?
I just eat a little bit. I haven't quite honed in on all the math, although I did do some good calculations for my 100 miler, how much I needed per loop to keep up a certain energy level.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know exactly. It'd be interesting to track that, to know. But I can just tell my body's used to, okay, Teresa, it's time to start eating. You know, here's a couple of 3 or 4, you know, honey stinger chews or a couple bites of this. And again, it's not that much every 20 minutes, mm-hmm. But it's enough to keep my calories, you know, keep things going.
So, and you did a 100K this year as well as 100 miles in both of those. So was your nutrition fairly, did that work out fairly well for you as far as?
Oh yeah. I'm pretty blessed. I think I haven't had any nutrition problems, no gut issues, no nothing. My nutrition is on point, I have to say.
Because
every 20 minutes works for me.
That's a big issue for ultra runners because, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people who've had their races end just because their nutrition is, you know, they haven't been able to get nutrients in, or they've had some sort of issue with their eating.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I train a lot with, you know, the different food. I personally try to eat as much whole food as possible, you know, mm-hmm. so oranges, bananas, you know, I try to stay away from the processed things, and the processed things I do eat are the honey stinger chews, pomegranate, fig Newton bars. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. Everything else I'm trying to eat. I make protein balls. I'll have sweet potatoes. You know, I try to eat whole food mm-hmm. as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you did the 50 miler in 2017. Then you, it was, I know that this, just this year was your first 100 miler.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
So how was, what was the difference that you felt? I mean, when you finished the 50 miler, did you say the same thing? It's like, oh, let me, can I do this twice?
Yeah, I did. I just needed to know right then when I was done and I felt, you know, it's like, okay, you've got all this energy and you've got all this pain and everything's going through your head. For me, that's how I can gauge. Okay, even though I'm having all these emotions and I'm feeling all of these things, can I keep going? Would I do this twice? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, then I really need to evaluate some things. But if it's yes, okay, well, then let's do it. And how do I prepare for that? Uh-huh. After I did that 50 miler, I turned 50 that following year. And I made this silly commitment or goal to run an at. Well, I decided I was going to run 100K that year. For my 50th.
For your 50th, okay.
Yeah, so that was my first 100K. But what I also decided was, since I was turning 50, I might as well average a 50K a month.
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't that be a nice
day? Yeah.
That was crazy. Oh, my gosh. I did it. I averaged a 50K a month for my 50th year of birth. Uh-huh. Either running training runs at 50Ks or I signed up for races. I traveled a couple of distances by myself up to Minnesota. Yeah. To do training runs. So, you know, I did another 50 miler in there. And so, yeah, it was 50Ks, 50 milers until I got to the 100K distance at J&J in October.
Okay. So with that,
that was my first one.
Was that 2018 then?
Yes, that was 2018. Okay.
Okay. So you went from doing a 50 mile in 2017 to running 50K every month for, wow.
And then 100K.
And then 100K.
Yep.
So how did your body react to that kind of mileage?
By the end of that year, my body was a little worn out, I think. I think it was saying, come on, give me a break, please. I did well at that 100K. I placed second female.
Oh.
So that was cool. And that was nice. I got an award. It's probably my only time I'll ever podium place at Ultra, but it's okay. So yeah, my body started to, I ended up having a myomectomy surgery in 20, I guess that would have been 2019.
Okay.
Because yeah, I had a goal to run 100 miler then. You know, it's that natural progression, Eric, and you know this well. Okay, I've done 100K, what's next? 100 miler. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't think I'll challenge myself to do a 50K every month again. I'm realizing, just me personally, I need some time off mm-hmm. between those long distances. And so I didn't do much running in 2019 because of some surgeries and health issues and things like that. And it got postponed. And then I started training to do this 100 in 2020 mm-hmm. and the hot got canceled because of the COVID things going on. And so I did Mines of Spain. That was the backup race that my coaches picked for me because of the hills. They said, you like to run hills. Here's a hilly race for you. That's what I did.
Yeah. And I remember you when we were talking about your going to the Mines of Spain, and you know, talked about the elevation profiles. There's like, wow, that's a pretty challenging course. It looked like.
Yeah, it was challenging. It was a lot of fun though. And when I finished, I asked myself the same question, would I do this again? And I said, absolutely, no doubt about it. It mm-hmm. was such a great experience. And I just attribute that to, you know, all the training I've done over the years, having a good nutrition plan, having great coaches, and having a good team that was up there with me. And one thing I told my team, and this is just what worked for me, was, you know, when we're out there, don't ask me how I'm feeling because I know it's going to hurt I know I'm going to be tired. I know I'm going to feel like crap. You know, we already know all of these things that are going to happen. So why do we need to talk about it? You know, mm-hmm. let's just not even talk about it. Let's just focus on what do I need to do to get through the next loop. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, before the this year, I had a lot of foot issues, which ended up being, I believe, a stress fracture in my foot. I just could not get over this foot pain I had all year. I did Bandera 100K in January. Mm-hmm. And just this foot, just nagging foot issue. And of course, I kept running thinking, okay, it's a shoe issue. It's a sock issue. It's all of these other issues. And I could never get it resolved. So I finally went into a boot just to stay off of it, you know, a few weeks before the race. And it helped. And I got some laser treatments and other things. So that was kind of nagging in the back of my head, like, oh man, I could go into this race and this foot can totally mess up on me and I can have problems or it's going to be just fine. Who knows? But my team, what I was very excited about with everyone that was with me, they never did ask about how it was feeling. They were just like, okay, is your foot okay? Let's look at your foot. And they knew every time I come in, let's look at your feet, make sure your feet are good. We're going to adjust what needs to be addressed and just keep you going. Mm-hmm. And that helped significantly. Popped blisters, kept my feet dry, kept everything good. And my knee is the issue that I had. So that slowed me down. Mm-hmm. But again, took care of that what we could and just kind of kept plugging through. It was amazing. It was just an amazing experience.
Yeah. And there was, and you had, you know, a good team around you. I mean, as far as pacers and crew and,
yes, and all experienced, you know, 100-miler finishers, mm-hmm. Each with their own personality and fun. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you read any of my race report or my story, but they were all absolutely amazing and challenging. They challenged me, each of them challenged me in their own way during each loop.
Yeah. I think your final loop, you said you were running with Barbie, who is fairly competitive, and she kept giving you like people ahead of you that you should overtake and finish before.
Yeah, I would definitely say everybody needs one of those competitive spirits on their team. Yeah. Barbie was kind of sneaky with that. Cause I think I talked about this, I feel like she was assessing if I could run, you know, because you're in your 80 last loop for this course, you know, you're doing your last 80 to 100, you know, miles is your distance. She didn't say anything for a while. And she's like, okay, let's run this. And I'm like, okay, I can run this flat section and I can run this section. And she's like, look at you, you're still running. It's 83 miles. You're doing great, you know. And even though I was in a lot of pain because my knee hurt like hell, and then all of a sudden she's like, our goal is to pass 5 people. And I'm like, 5 people? I don't even think there's 5 people on this course left. I might be the last one. Cause at the time I didn't know where I was at, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so we're negotiating and she says, well, how about 3? You can at least pass 3. You know, I don't know how she knew there was 3.
When she said this, was there like anybody in sight that you could pass?
Not at the time. Okay. Yeah, not at the time.
You just is like, there's 3 people out there in front of you that you're going to go catch.
Yes. And as soon as she's, that's why I called her, you know, we're on a hunt. You know, I called her the tracker because as soon as she knew, I mean, as soon as I agreed, she was on a hunt and to track people. And as soon as she could see them in sight, she's like, okay, there's number one. The first one was easy because he was stopped. He stopped with his wife taking pictures, you know, and so, you know, we got him real quick. She's like, okay, that's number one. That's your easy one, you know, and after that, she was on a mission to find people and we were going to catch them.
Yeah.
This is where my strength of running hills came in very handy because once we caught them and I told her, I say, let's get close enough that I could pass them on the hill. And that's where I was able to pass him. Mm-hmm. And I got him on the hills and was able to stay ahead of him after that.
Yeah.
And we ended up passing 4 people.
So do you do any specific work for training on hills?
A lot of glute exercises.
Okay.
So yeah, I really try to keep my glutes engaged as much as possible. So I'm using those glute muscles. A lot of lunges. Explosive, you know, so you can, get that momentum when you can on the hills, and just running, you know, OG is such great training for hills, running up and down, down OGs. And
yeah, OG, for anybody who's not in Kansas City, in the Kansas City running community, there's a place called OG Road, which is, I think it's a half a mile. So from the top of the hill to the bottom, which is a little creek, it's a half a mile. And so you can run from the top of OG down and back and have a mile. So each mm-hmm. OG is a mile. And so,
yep.
And we have a friend who is working on she's going to log 1,000 miles on the OG road this year in 1 year of climbing up and down those hills. So, yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you said, one of the things that, you had mentioned is that your plan is to do some competitive bodybuilding again. So
yeah, I decided my body needs a break from the ultra running for just a little while. And I need a goal. I need something to be working on. And, I'd really like to get back up on stage and see if I can place this time and bring home a medal or a trophy. So I started my training for that started last week, mm-hmm. and I'll be bodybuilding over the next few months, hopefully to compete again in April.
Okay.
Yep.
So you have a bodybuilding coach then as well?
Yeah. Yeah, because they give you your nutrition plan. I mean, they're very, very specific on what they want you eating and how much you're eating. Mm-hmm. So that's very important. And then, my muscle growth, watching, you know, how I'm growing, and if there's an area that I need to improve upon, and specific exercises to get the right look mm-hmm. that you need to have up on stage.
Now, will you be able to run at all? I know we ran together on Monday. So you started your bodybuilding training and you're still running a little bit. Is that
just a little bit? Yeah. She said I better get it out of my system, because come January 1, she's putting the hammer down on that. So I signed up for a 50K. Yeah. I'm like, okay, can I run at least one more ultra? She's like, you better hurry up. So I signed up for a 50K after Christmas. And that'll be it. Last Chance Ultra in Stockton, Missouri.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna go down there and do it for fun.
Yeah. I've not heard of it.
Funny. Yeah. We run ultras for fun.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it is, there's something about the challenge of it. And, that's what it is for me is, can I go that distance? And each race is different. Each time you go out there and go, each course is different. The weather is different. There's always, you're not guaranteed a finish. Even if you do everything right.
Right.
So that's the real challenge is can I get it done again?
And I like that. I think that's what I really enjoy about, being an ultra runner, and I tell people you get to see parts of the country if you travel for races or even just do local races. You know, you're out in the woods for hours upon hours, going to different trails, and you just get to be with nature for so long. It's just a wonderful experience, and the things that you get to see that you may never have taken that trail or hiked that distance or something like that. And just being out there for that long, it's like, if I'm out there, I might as well stay all day.
Yeah.
if I have the time.
And all night.
Yeah. And all night and all the next day.
Yeah. I was having a discussion online from somebody who was asking about the Outlaw 100. And I paced a lady in February at the Outlaw. And I, So I experienced the course, but we started at 7 o'clock at night. And so it was dark the entire time. And so it was really interesting to go to this place I'd never run before and do a 20-mile loop and the person that I paced, I didn't know her until I showed up and met her at the race.
Oh, wow.
And so two of us who were her pacers, she had never met. There was a lady from Holton, Kansas, just north of Topeka, and myself. And then she had one friend who she knew as a pacer. There were two of us she'd never met. And so we showed up and met her at the race and then went out and paced her through the,
oh,
through
her 100. That's amazing.
So yeah, it was amazing to have that experience, but to be at this place that I'd never been before. And Outlaw is a very tough course. And I experienced all of it at night. And so it was just very, there was a place that we were running along a ridge, and it was usually you can see in your headlight, you can see trees around, and off to my left, I mean, there was nothing but blackness. I mean, there's nothing for my light to reflect off. And I went, that's probably a cliff. I can't see the bottom of it, but it's probably this big cliff that I'm right next to. There are all of those kinds of experiences that we get to experience as ultra runners.
That's how J&J was. J&J was a nighttime start. My first 100K, and it was north of Bandera.
Oh, okay.
And it was a nighttime start. So we started at, I think, 7 or 8 o'clock, similar to that. So yeah, okay. Being out there in a new trail that you've never been to before with a headlamp and looking, with those Texas courses, they have the reflectors in the trees and in the bushes. Mm-hmm. Because it's so rocky, you really can't put a flag down on the trail. Uh-huh. So you're constantly looking for those reflectors.
Uh-huh.
And the trail isn't really distinct because it's so rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, you're just like on this, just this mission, this hunt, this experience to find your way and look for the markers and get to the next aid station. And it's just like this big adventure all night long.
Well, and as a pacer, I was the one who was supposed to be helping find the way. And, there were ribbons tied around trees, and the course was well marked, but there were a couple times I got off course and not too far, but it was like the trail was not as, I mean, most trails that we run, that you and I run around here, even when the leaves are on the trail, you can tell here's where the path is because it's so,
but
there were places there. It's like the trail was not well defined. And so by looking at the ground, you couldn't really tell where it was. And so you were kind of going in between rocks and trees and looking for the next marker to make sure that you could navigate.
Right. And my pacer, I didn't know her. I picked up a pacer for the last 10 miles of that race at J&J.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I had never met her, somebody I found online that was going to be there. She was 28 at the time, so the same age as my daughter.
Okay.
And she was an Olympic. She was doing Olympic trials, so a fast road runner.
Wow.
And I don't recall if maybe J&J, she had done some trail running, but nothing really like that. And she was just blown away. She's like, you've done this 3 times now? And and I remember, we're like hauling ass up this hill as fast as I could, and we get to the top and she's like, do you want to rest? I'm like, no, we can't stop.
Keep
going. She's like, oh my gosh. She was so funny in the aid stations because she's like, wow, look at all this food, and she's just kind of grazing. And I'm trying to hurry up and get what I need and get out of the aid station. And I remember she's just taking her time. Like, man, we need to take a break. And I was like, I'm going to go ahead and go, and I'll see you back out on the trail. Oh, yeah, I should be helping you. But she was just having so much fun eating all the food.
Mm-hmm.
It was so funny. She was great. She stayed in touch, and it was fun for her, too.
Did she make it to the Olympics?
I don't think so. No, she didn't. She didn't make her time trial that she did. And now she's pregnant, so she's having her first child.
Okay.
Okay. But she's still running. So that's a good thing.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So I said, I know next year, this coming year, you're going to be doing some bodybuilding, and then you're doing the Hawk 100. You and I both have a deferment for that race. So,
yes.
So will there be anything in between the bodybuilding and the Hawk? Do you have any other organized races that you have, you might do?
I have a deferment on Nighthawk 50K.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's in June.
Yeah, that's in June. So again, Eric, this is going to be a big experiment for me because it's going to be a tight turnaround again. It'll be competing in April, a couple of competitions in April to the 1st of May, and then I'll have 5 months again to get ready for the Hawk 100.
But only a month to get ready for the Nighthawk 50K.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure how that's all going to work out, but here's my idea. And I've been talking to both sets of coaches about it. Mm-hmm. My running coaches, Colleen and Leah, say try to maintain a marathon distance at least while you're bodybuilding. My bodybuilding coach says that's going to be hard because they don't want me running that much.
Mm-hmm. So try to maintain a marathon distance as like weekly mileage or what? Or to be able to be fit enough to run a marathon.
Yeah, be able to be fit enough to run a marathon. So my mileage is going to be a lot lower. But for my cardio work that I do get to do during bodybuilding, because you do have to do cardio, it's just mm-hmm. different types of cardio, your HIIT cardio. But I think I could manage to run some as my cardio, uh-huh. as long as I'm very conscientious of what I'm eating, how fast I'm running, that I'm always staying in the zone of burning fat and not burning muscle.
Uh-huh. Well, and also you've started something. I mean, we were talking about this when we ran together on Monday, that you've started heart rate training as well.
Yes.
And so will that be a better fit for you for bodybuilding?
Yes. Doing the heart rate training will keep me in my aerobic zone instead of my anaerobic zone.
Okay.
So that will keep me in the fat burning mode and not risking turning into muscle burning mode.
Right. Yeah. So you should be able to maintain some endurance. And
yeah.
So how has the heart rate training helped? I mean, what is you had to change to train by the heart rate method versus what you were doing before?
Right. Keeping track of things, because you're always looking at your heart rate to see where you're at. And I'm not used to doing that. I'm just used to running how I feel. And, I slow down and, I'll pick back up. And if I want to go on a, nice sprint, I'm going to go on a sprint. If I'm going to power up the hill, I mean, I'm so used to running how I feel, and realizing when I went back and looked at my statistics that my heart rate was always pretty high. So I was more in an anaerobic zone, probably 160, definitely 150 and higher. And for my age, I'm supposed to be around 128 to 133 beats per minute, mm-hmm. which it feels like I'm moving like a turtle. And you're walking a lot, because as soon as your heart rate goes up, they want you to, you want to walk so you can get your heart rate back down, and then you start running again. So it's really training my body to do something different. It takes time. Mm-hmm. But, just on our run on Monday, I was like, okay, this run, I've got to do it. I don't care if I'm, at the very, very back, I've got to stick with the plan. And I noticed finally, after 4 weeks of trying this, I'm noticing that my heart rate is starting to go down quicker. So when it does spike up mm-hmm. and I start to walk, I don't have to walk as long to get it back in the right zone. And then I can pick back up. So my body's now starting to figure out that I can maintain a pace at that heart rate range. Mm-hmm. So I'm still walking, but it's slowly starting to transition. Going out and running a 10K at whatever pace I want doesn't help. Because I finally decided last week, and you know, I was like, you know what? I think this heart rate training stuff, it makes sense. I know I can do it. I don't want to do it today. I'm just going to go run how I feel. Uh-huh. But then that kind of, you know, sets you back.
Oh, so
trust
so,
the process.
So it does actually, bring your performance level down as far as if you go out.
I wasn't able to maintain my, like the, so that was Saturday. I had a really great run, you know, it was a 10K and it felt good. And I just did what I wanted. And then I went out and tried to maintain that heart rate at 5K the next day. And it didn't work out as I had expected.
I had thought that, you know, that you could like we said, cheat a little bit, you know, go out and run, because I know, I mean, I've run with you before. I know you like to go, and that's, you know, you like to have a, you know, a pretty good pace, and you're a strong
over
runner.
Over time, once I get my body trained, it's mm-hmm. going to take me a little bit longer, but you know, the whole idea is, you know, I would say, you know, in the next probably 2 or 3 months, probably in the next 3 months, by the end of 3 months, I should have it down enough to where I am running a faster pace and mm-hmm. keeping my heart rate lower. Okay. That's the goal. So yeah. I can run a faster pace, a shorter distance. So while I'm not doing the endurance running during this bodybuilding mm-hmm. season I'll be in, my focus will be on speed for running.
Okay.
But also increasing my pace, increasing my speed, but keeping my heart rate down. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal for the running aspect of what I'll be doing. And then I'll be lifting weights at least 5 days a week.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think from what you've said about the heart rate training and the strength training, it sounds like you'd be able to bounce back pretty quickly into running shape, you know, next year when you really need to start training and get bumping up your miles. So,
yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I hope it works. It worked pretty nicely the time before, but that was only 50 miles.
Yeah.
Trained for 50 miles in 5 months. Now I'm doubling that distance in the same amount of time. But now I will have done that distance. So mm-hmm. I know mentally I can do it. I know what to expect. Now it's just a matter of how is my body going to respond after bodybuilding and ramping up those miles? You know, is my body going to let me do it? You know, I'm aging. I'm 52, Eric.
You're still younger than me. So. But yeah, it's the thing that I think I see, especially among runners, is if you can, that if you don't go overboard, and there's a, your body adapts to that. And, you know, I look at runners who are, you know, even older than me, you know, up even into their 80s that are still out there doing it. And I think that's, you know, for those of us who are over 50, you know, just to continue doing what we can and continue, you know, going after, you know, the challenge. I mean, the challenge is, can I keep doing this?
There's a bodybuilder I know. She's 71, I think, 72 years old. Amazing.
Wow.
And still competing. Very well respected in the field. Yes. Wow. She still competes. And, you know, I can't even do pull-ups yet, and this woman can do at least 10. You know? and she's just amazingly cut, strong, and just a ball of fire. You know, mm-hmm. and knowing people like that, you know, the people in the running community that we have around here that have got so much experience and are still doing it. You know, even if they've had setbacks or different things like that, and still staying out there and. You know, they may not be running 100 milers all the time, but people are still running whatever distance is best for them. Mm-hmm. Just being encouraging of each other. Yeah, it's yeah. Why not keep going forever?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, I'm glad you said that, because there's, for you know, somebody who may listen to this, you know, it's like we're talking about, you know, going from 50K or half marathons, 50K, 100K. I have a lot of people in the running community that, you know, you and I both know, that they have no desire to run more than a 50K, and they're very good at it. And so, you know, and I know Colleen, your running coach, has said, you know, don't get pulled into feeling like you have to do the next big thing. I mean, for you and I mean, that's, it's a challenge. I mean, we want to see, you know, you finish that. Can I do that? Can I run double that? And, you know, you said you got, even at 50 miles, you said, yeah, I can run farther. I want to do the next one. But I, you know, I've talked to friends who I run with, and they have no desire to go 100 miles. I'm like, do what makes you happy. Exactly.
Yeah. Then don't, you know, try to show up to your runs or to your race with what you've got to offer that day, and do the best you can for whatever distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I learned that, you know, in bodybuilding, you know, I had to show up on that Saturday with the best, you know, the best Teresa I could get that day was mm-hmm. who was on that stage, yeah. You know, with all the training and everything I prepared for and all of that kind of stuff. I just had to show up with my best self and perform and see what happened,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I had to be happy with that regardless of the outcome. And that was my mindset, you know, just get up there, have a good time, always have a good time, no matter what you're doing. That's really important. You know, have a good time and show up with your best self, and everything else will fall into place how it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And sometimes my best self it doesn't cut it for that day. And that's okay too. At least I had fun and I was there.
Yeah. And that is, and that's something that, you know, we have to deal with. I mean, there are days when whatever happens, you know, it's just, you give the best of what you have. And if it's not, if it doesn't get you, you know, if it doesn't get you past the cutoff times, then, you know, that was still the best you could do that day. And
yeah. Yeah. And I've had my share of, you know, being in last place. I've done a couple thing distances where I was like, you know what, I'm not going to be able to finish this. I'm going to drop down to this distance instead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, training runs where I was supposed to run certain distance, I'm like, oh, it ain't happening today.
Yeah.
You know, so you just get to be okay with all of that, because at least you're out there and you're trying and you're giving it all that you had that day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's I think, the important thing. So,
mm-hmm. And for me, it's about having fun. I just love it so much. And I just have fun and try to cut up and not be too critical of myself. And you know, if I am, I try to do that very privately.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And it's always important to look for the way just to have fun, and mm-hmm. you know, that you're out there doing it. And so, yeah, we all go through those. If you run ultramarathons, you get to, there are points where you'll hit a low, and you know, you have those negative thoughts, and so you have to kind of pull yourself back out and say, no, this is, you know, doing this is better than sitting at home eating potato chips.
And you know, your mindset is so important, because when I was running the 100 miler, there was a time where I was focusing on the pain in my knee. I was focusing on the tiredness. I was focusing all of those things. And I realized, I kind of caught myself. It's like, wow, I'm focusing on what hurts and it keeps hurting. It's mm-hmm. not going away. Mm-hmm. I'm focusing on being tired and I'm still tired. So what do I need to do? I need to focus on my knee's not hurting. I'm not tired. And really it took me a 5-minute mental exercise of telling myself, my knee doesn't hurt. I called it a tickle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just tickles. It just tickles a lot right now. And I'm not tired. I could probably run for days, you know, even though I know I couldn't, but I was mm-hmm. telling myself that, you know, I could just keep going forever. This is nothing, you know, and I was just, you know, just setting my mind up for something different. And I figured if I kept repeating that self, you know, kept repeating that to myself over and over, I would eventually start to feel better and get some more energy and get that thing done.
Yeah. And that is such a critical part of, I mean, you have to put in the, you have to put in the training, you know, you have to have your, the physical training, but that being able to have those tools to say, I'm going to keep going. And, you know, having your mind, you know, of what you focus your mind on is what you'll get. And that's something that, that, I mean, we've talked about this on the, on our trail runs as well, is the things you focus on, the things you say in your daily life is kind of what sets the tone for what happens in your life.
Yeah.
The things that you think about and you know, that.
And that mental training, Eric, and you know this too, is so important when you're running ultra distances. Running that 100K, that Prairie Spirit 100K, and doing, you know, 13 hours of that course by myself, with no music, no headphones, no nothing. It was just me. Boy, that was some mental training.
Yeah. Well, and it was also, it, it was a rails to trail. So, I mean, and I don't know how, what you think, but that is a very difficult for me to run on because there's no ups and downs. It's just all, it's like a 60 mile long treadmill.
Yes. You can see for miles in front of you. You're like, oh gosh, I got to get there. Yeah. But, that was challenging, but the mental component, but I felt like, okay, this is really, really good training. If I could run for 13 hours by myself with nobody to talk to and no music or nothing, yeah, this is going to be good. I'm going to be able to handle this 100-mile experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did well on that one. I mean, just that with the mental side of that, it's just because that was, it was a long time.
Yeah, it was, you know, a long mental exercise and endurance.
For sure. Well, our time is almost is actually a little bit over time. Usually I try to keep this right at an hour. And so,
okay, I'm sorry.
No. I mean, it's if we go over, you know, there's some people I talk to is like, you know, we come up to an hour and we've pretty much said what we wanted to say. And we, you know, we came up with you on an hour and I was like, oh, we still have a couple more things we got to talk about. So,
but I don't see any questions. So nobody.
I haven't seen any questions. I think there's a couple of people who have been listening. There's a little thing on my screen.
Okay.
We had a few people who have listened in, but they just have been very silent today. They haven't commented at all.
Entertaining.
So, yeah. But I've enjoyed talking with you, Teresa. Thank you for agreeing to doing this. I really, oh, there we go. Now we, Sherry Durrett, I don't know if you can see it on your screen. Thanks, Sherry, for watching. She says very good information.
Oh, good. Great. Thank you.
I have appreciated. I've always enjoyed talking with you, Teresa, and have been grateful to be able to share this conversation here with on my page. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for having me and asking me to do this. I'm very honored and humbled, and I. First time I've ever been interviewed like this about this sport and what I love to do. And so thank you for giving me the opportunity.
And I'm excited to see what you do with your bodybuilding too, because I mean, the only thing I know about bodybuilding is the short clips I see on TV of, you know, when that happened to be on the news or a commercial. And so, so I'm excited to see how things progress for you in your competitive bodybuilding.
Well, thank you, and I'll be popping in every time I can on the trail on Mondays to get those little short runs in, and I'll give you an update.
Well, and I'm sure you have a lot of friends in that Monday morning running group that are going to be stalking you as far as keeping up in your bodybuilding and what you're doing too. So
they're big supporters, and that helps.
Yeah. So, well, thanks again, Teresa. I appreciate it. And for those of you who've watched this, and if you're seeing this on replay, would glad to hear your comments. And if you want to leave a comment and watching on replay, I'll get back to you through Messenger if you leave a comment. Thanks again for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Okay. Good night. Thanks, Eric.
Bye.
Okay. Ciao.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Trail Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review And don't forget to subscribe. That way you won't miss out on any new episodes. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me on Facebook as at Ultramarathon Mindset, or you can find me on the web at theultramarathonmindset.com. Remember, your mindset is the key to success in running and in life, and developing a strong mindset is a skill you can improve. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.